bet you see that God is on the move. He is keeping us moving forward here. Amen.
Oh, yes, he is.
Amen. So some of you who were with us in these previous lessons, you know we've been working through a series.
Yes.
And we thank God for this final installment. We decided to do a series in between teaching through the book of Romans in order to just give you some topical support for some subjects that we thought were very important. So we started off with, just to get you up to date in case you happen not to be here, you may be visiting and you may not have heard the previous messages. So I want you to know we started off with spiritual guidance, and we said that that was the internal encouragement of the Word of God. That's how we get guidance spiritually.
Yes.
As we mature in the Lord, as we be, first of all, you start off with salvation.
That's right.
And God wants everyone to be saved. We said that.
Amen.
And it's His desire that no man would perish, the Bible says. He doesn't want to judge anyone. Amen. So you start off with salvation, which is God's gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world.
Amen.
And as you learn that first message, God begins to teach you more things about Himself.
Yes, He will.
And that word that you know about God is inside your mind, and it's a spiritual thing because the word is a spiritual thing, the Bible says. Amen.
Yes.
It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you start off with that internal encouragement of the word of God. Just the fact that you know what God said is there at times when you need it to encourage you to make it through a spiritual life. And then we said we were talking about spiritual discipline in the next lesson.
Yes.
And that's when you begin to apply the things that God teaches you in His Word. Mm-hmm. You begin to apply those things to your life.
Amen.
In other words, the Bible, you learn about prayer, the fact that we have an open door to God to go in and pray.
Yeah.
And so you begin to practice prayer. You start to go in, you talk to God.
Yeah.
And then you find out God answers prayer.
Yes, that's right.
Like, wow, boy, I'm amazed.
Yes.
You know, I prayed, I learned about prayer. Mm-hmm. Used to not talk to God because I didn't even have any knowledge that He was in my life.
Yeah.
Now, Word says He's there. He said He says He cares. He loves me.
Yes,
he said, bring all your cares and cast them upon me.
Yes.
So you start to practice prayer.
Yes.
Instead of carrying a burden, you talk to God about it.
Yes.
And then when you do that, you find out, wow, God answers prayer.
Amen.
That's awesome, you know.
Yes.
And so that takes you, as you practice discipleship, that's the prayerful application of the encouragement of the Word of God. And so basically God teaches you a lot of things. He starts to teach you. We said the whole purpose of coming to Christ is that God wants to save us. He doesn't want us to be condemned. He doesn't want you going around feeling guilty.
Yes.
You know, like all that stuff. And the devil's just opposite. He wants you to feel bad, wants you to be depressed, wants you to feel like I need some drugs to cope with my situation, or whatever, some alcohol, or I need to do this, that, or the other. And then what stuff you are doing is out of character with the Word of God. The devil runs that down your throat and makes you think you can't ever get free from these things. And God says to you, come to me and I'll set you free. Call upon me. I gave my Son to be crucified for you. He died for you in order to bless you and to bring you free, to set you free from all these things.
Amen.
And you know what? You don't get immediate freedom, but you find out God can break the chains a lot of times,
oh,
and He does.
Yes,
you know, he took some really heavy stuff off my life.
Amen.
When I first came to Him. And then, you know, I start thinking about the other stuff, and some of it is less noticeable on the outside. But He took me off, for example, I'll just say, tell you part of my little story. God took me off drugs. Took me off. One day I was a drug addict, the next day I was free.
Amen. Amen.
And, but that wasn't the only problem I had. That was just what I was using to cover the other stuff that was still inside. But when He showed me that you can't deal with this, it's deeper than you can handle, I can take you right off of it, He did it in one day. And I have never been on drugs again. See? And I thank God for that. Okay, but then now that's just what you were using to cover the other issues.
That's right.
And the other problems and the stuff in you that's not right. See?
Amen.
And so now God starts to get into you and then starts to show you things about yourself.
Yes.
He starts to show you, well, why did you do that in the first place? And what were you trying to hide? What were you trying to cover? What pain were you trying to deal with? See, what situation caused you to ever pick up that first joint and get started? It took you down that path that led to cocaine. What was that that was in your life that took you down that road? See? And so God begins to let you deal with those things. You know, he looks back at your sexual life, how you started off in life.
That's right.
Dealing with sexuality and things.
Yeah.
You know, and then he starts to talk about that and men screw all of that.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
And so God takes you into some deep things about yourself.
He
does it through his word.
Amen.
That's why it's very important for me and you to be disciples.
Yeah.
We want to learn because the Bible teaches us how to break into all those little closets and dark places in our lives and of our mind that we don't know what to do with. Don't know how to deal with it.
Amen.
You know, when God says, come to me, all you that labor or heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm going to rest you first.
Yeah.
Take away the shame, take away the guilt, and then it's going to be me and you one-on-one. He says, I behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
If you open unto me, I will come in and sup with you. See, he says, I want to come in and break bread with you.
In your life.
Spiritual bread, the word of God.
That's right.
See, and I want to fix all that.
Yes.
But you got to open the door. I'm not going to barge into your life. Jesus
open the door.
Is a gentleman.
Yes, he is.
He won't barge in. But he will knock at the door of your heart. And if you open your heart, he'll come in.
Yes, he will.
He says, I'll come in. Invite me in. I'll come in. Like to come in and sit with you. I'm telling you, before I come in, I forgive you of everything.
Amen.
Already. I already forgave you of everything. Don't worry about anything. And y'all know I'm not going to go into Stevie Wonder up here today. Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus comes up and he might have got that from Jesus. I don't know. But Jesus said, don't worry about a thing. I got you covered.
That's right.
I got your back. I got your front. I got your left. I got your right. I got everything around you and all about you. And I'm coming in right now to bless you. I don't have anything against you. You know what? He knows about us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. We may not even understand. Where did I make the wrong turn? What did I do wrong? He does. He knows that his word is able to get you out of it. And he will heal you of it entirely. Whatever it is.
He will.
He is a blessing. He is that kind of a blesser. And so we were talking about that discipleship. That's that whole process. And this is the reason why studying the word is absolutely imperative. It's imperative. We got to get into it. You know, when you start seeing the first things God does in your life, when you start that relationship, it makes you anxious to want to have more fellowship with God.
Yes, it does.
And God's people. What you find out, stuff you were kind of afraid to discuss, you find out other folks in here have had the same issues. Nobody in here is all pristine and holy and walking around on clouds and all that.
No,
we all have the same kind of problem. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See, so he lets you know stuff like that, that there's stuff tempting you. Everybody else is being tempted, maybe not with the same thing.
Yes.
Because the devil, he'll come to you at the place where you like it.
Yes.
You know, he's examined the places and the things you like.
Yes.
See, some stuff that's just bothering you might not tempt me at all.
Right.
And vice versa. There might be some stuff I'm dealing with, you wouldn't even ever go there. You know, but that's the way he operates,
yes,
on the stealth end. But God comes in and says, I know all about it all.
Everything.
And nobody in here is perfect. Everybody's got issues.
That's right.
But we're going to miss through them all. And that's why fellowship is important.
Amen.
Amen.
See, so we talked about discipleship. And now we're talking about fellowship.
Yes.
Fellowship is you and I coming in, working with one another, supporting one another. You know, and we don't come in saying, oh, I am a recovering this, that, or the other. No, I've been healed of this here. See, God, you're not recovering. I'm healed. I'm out of it. I will not be. You can pull a truckload of cocaine out front. I am not going in. I'm going to tell you now. In fact, I'll probably call the police and come over here because something bad is going to happen around here. But I'm not tempted to go in and do it. You know, so I will never do that again in the history of time. If you hear that Pastor Fisher died of a cocaine overdose, you'll know somebody took me and forced it into my mouth. Because I don't play that anymore. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you hear that, you'll know some espionage took place. You see what I'm saying? Because I will never, ever intentionally ever do that again in life. Because I despise the whole idea of it now, you know, for me.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So when you know that right well. God healed that thing. That thing is over. Ain't going there no more. You know, but whatever else you're dealing with, guess what? He is equally able to deal with it. We could have some small personality flaws that are keeping us from getting a job or whatever kind of thing it might be. God can come right into your mix, show you that thing you have, show you how to fix it, and he'll fix it and you'll start to press right on forward. So what we're talking about through both of these, spiritual confidence by God's word, we're talking about the prayerful application of that confidence once you start to learn it, and then what I'm going to call this lesson today is spiritual growth 101. Now those of you who go to school, you know, and been to any college, 101 is normally just the first course that you take when you get there. So I'm going to call this spiritual growth 101. All right. And some of you who are college students, if you're high school, you may not have heard that. I don't think they do that in high school. I don't know. Maybe they do these days. But 101, that's usually the first one you get before you go very deep. But this is a deep lesson nevertheless. So I'm going to read just this. Now, you probably know this. This is one of those things that you have tucked away in your spiritual armaments. Everybody loves Psalm 1. That's the opening doorway to the Psalter. When the Psalter is what they call the 150 Psalms that make up the entire book of Psalms.
Yes.
And these were songs. Keep that in mind. And I just want to put a pin right there just for a minute. Notice how God's people celebrate him in song. You got something to sing about. How can you be singing and you got an issue, you got a problem somewhere in your spirit? But you know what? God says, go ahead and sing and rejoice now. He says, thank me now, ahead of time. Because I'm going to deal with it. It's going to be dealt with. It's a done deal. For example, when they went to Jericho, he told them, just go around there blasting trumpets for 7 days. And the enemy's going, here they come. Here they come. They're going to try to break in the doors. And in breaking the doors, know what they did? They was praying trumpets. Going around, blasting the trumpet, going around. They said, okay. Then they went away. Then they said, well, that was strange. And the next day, around the same time, they come again. They're going to break in now. They're breaking in. They went on around. And that went on for seven days. Then on the seventh day, when they came around on that seventh day, they came back again. They said, oh, they're going to slip now. Here they come. And then they just went around seven times. Then after they blew the trumpet seven times, God said, now rejoice.
Yeah.
Shout.
Shout.
For the Lord is about to move. Nothing happened. And the folks of Jericho going, man, we can see you now. 7 days, we ain't scared of you now. And he came around here with that same nonsense. You know? And so finally on the seventh day after they shout, what happened? Boom! The walls start to fall down. And God wanted them to know, it's not them. They're my people. They're rejoicing. And I'm giving them the victory. And I'm going to knock the walls down. And the walls went down all the way around except where Rahab's house was.
That's right.
Because she had faith. So imagine that. The whole walls of Jericho turned into a column with Rahab's house on it. And the people in her house. The harlot. Rahab the harlot. Because she believed God.
Yes, it is.
See, so when you believe God, God promises to protect you. And he says rejoice. And I just said that to say that songs and praise is important.
Amen.
Why are you singing when you come to church? Because praising God is important.
Amen.
God said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, thank me now, ahead of time.
Yes.
Ask for what you want and thank me for it. That's what God said. Why? Because I can handle it. And I'm going to deliver it. I'm going to bring you out. Don't be anxious. Don't go around worrying about how I'm going to deal with this.
That's right. Amen.
See, in everything, he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Yeah, that's Philippians. That's not on your sheet. They're probably going, when are you going to get to this sheet? But I'm getting around there. Let me come back around. Now, Psalm 1, and I mention that because this is the opening song written by David, and it really is the dividing line between how we think, how we walk in the world, how we assimilate the truth, how we make the truth become a part of our being, and the difference between who we hang out with and how far we go in the world.
All right.
He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You can read it with me if you like. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now right there in that psalm, he characterizes all the people in the world, the saved and the lost. And he's speaking to those who have ears to hear. He says, you are blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's plenty of bad advice in the world. You can turn on TV and hear bad advice all the time. Got people on there pumping out bad advice. They tell you all kinds of stuff that won't help you at all. You know, you got all kinds of people. I'm not going to start calling people's names, but y'all know who they are. You can turn it on, and you can get bad advice nearly 24 hours a day on
yes,
the TV.
You,
you might be able to go to your job and get some bad advice. Girl, I tell you what you ought to do. And they'll tell you something that's really just not really a good thing for you to do. You see what I'm saying? If I was you, I'd do this. You know, you got people like that, you know, in the world give you some bad advice about something you're already struggling with. But he says you're blessed if you do not walk in the counsel. Especially if they happen not to know the Lord.
Amen.
You know, they don't know the Lord. They're not in the same situation you're in.
No.
You have the word from on high. You have the Most High God of the universe giving you information.
Amen.
He's written it down. He's helping you understand it and get it into your mind at a level that you can handle it. And so don't go listening to folks who don't know the Lord. He says, nor stand in the way of sinners.
Yes.
Now, that's folks practicing the same stuff you're trying to get free from.
That's right.
You know, don't go and listen to them, because if they could fix it, they wouldn't be doing it themselves.
All right.
You see? He says here, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Mm-hmm. Some people say, all that church stuff, that's for the birds, and they talk all against it. I wouldn't even listen to that for 5 minutes. They give you real bad advice.
Yes.
And notice the transgression and then the digression, I should say, of this man. At first he was walking, and then it says he standeth in the way of sinners, and then he is sitting in the seat of the scornful.
Yep.
He was at least moving at first when he was walking. And then he stopped and he was standing in the way of sinners. Next thing you know, he's comfortable sitting down in sin. So he went from moving forward to sitting still. You see that? But on the other hand, the Psalter says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Stay in the word.
Yes.
You might say, well, you know, I'm a new student, Pastor. I just got into the word and I don't understand it all. Don't worry about that.
That's right.
Stay in the book.
Amen.
And if you don't know, consult with somebody else in the book.
That's right.
Call on some of your friends here in the church. The fellowship of the church is very important. Talk to somebody more mature in the word than you.
Yeah.
They will help you and they will understand. They're not going to judge you because, you know, I've been through the same stuff you've been through. So I'm not judging you.
That's right.
I'm trying to help you. I'll tell you, and if I can't help you, I'll refer you to my friend here. He's deeper in the word than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going to help you get what you need.
Amen.
See? And it's going to be from God. It's not going to be from the world or from Dr. Spock's book or somebody who doesn't know God. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you a word, an answer from God.
Amen.
And if we don't know, suppose all of us don't know, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray.
Pray.
Amen. We're going to call on the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's going to cause us to understand what we ought to do.
Yes, he will.
And that's how God works.
Amen.
And so you want to make sure you get godly counsel if you're having any issue in your life. And now notice this, it says that if you delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and you know what I do now, because I find myself every time I open a part of the Bible, I say, well, you know what, this is my favorite book. And people say, you said that when we was in Habakkuk. Yeah, that's true. And I said it when I was in Amos. And I said it when I was in Isaiah. And I say it about it all, because it's just all good.
Amen.
You know, and it really is my favorite. I'm not lying. I love all these books because I've learned to plumb the depths of them, and God has been blessing me, giving me understanding. You know, and he's maturing me. He's making me more mature in his word. And so he says your delight must be in the law of the Lord, and in his law you meditate day and night. That means all the time. And then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yes.
That brings forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither. You know, the leaf is what feeds the tree. You know that, right?
Right.
Now you would think, boy, back then, did they know that much about agriculture? That the leaves actually make chlorophyll and they actually take oxygen and CO2 and actually make food to feed the tree. Did they know about photosynthesis when David wrote this? I don't think so. But it's scientifically true.
Right.
That you'll be like a tree. It says, your leaf also shall not wither. That means the food, the feeding process and the water that's in the river. And whatsoever you do, shall prosper. God has promised you prosperity.
Model.
If you walk with him, you can be guaranteed prosperity.
Amen.
See that? So I love that. And you know what? It's true of me because I was really a basket case at one time in my life. I had squandered all the good stuff God had given me. Used it up foolishly. And as soon as I stopped and realized that's no good, I got to get right, called on God. God started turning me around, and he has been prospering me ever since.
Amen.
You know, and I'm not saying I'm, at the Taj Mahal or have billions in the bank, none of that. But my life has been on an uphill climb.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's been going up and up and up and up. Stuff's getting better and better and better all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is true. I can tell you that this is true. Many others, I bet you I can get a witness in this room that when you start walking with God, you see him begin to bless your life.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't have trouble.
Amen.
Doesn't mean trouble don't come. Trouble comes all the time. You know, but God takes you through the trouble.
Yes,
even like he told David, even though yea, though I walk through the valley, David said, under the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God goes with you through the trouble. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. I've always got more than I need. You see? And so that's the way the life of the person is who is growing spiritually. They begin to rely on God, rely on his word. Walk by faith, not by sight. I don't need to see it.
Yes.
Like somebody told me the other day, well, you know, they found a Noah's Ark up in the Mount Ararat, frozen in an ice cap. Would you like to go over there? I said, no, I don't. I said, I saw it right here. It's right in here, and I believe because it's in here, I don't need to ever go there and see it. Because God said it, therefore I know it's so.
That's right. Amen.
And so you begin to trust God and his word. And then people try to tell you other stuff about stuff to discredit the word. You hear it all the time. Well, why are you attacking it is what I'm wondering. Why don't you go attack some of these other things that are out here calling themselves spiritual? Why you got to attack this?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to win anyway.
That's right.
You know, because this has been around and stood the test of time, and it's always been true.
My Lord.
And so basically, stay in the word and watch God move, and he'll make you strong. You know what, a tree might get blown and it might bend, but it's not going to break.
That's right.
It's planted by the rivers of water. It can take a high wind.
Amen.
You see? And so he says, your leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Then he compares it with the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. That's the little shell or the hull on the outside of the grain that the wind drives away. That's the part you don't eat. You want to get that off. Just like you shuck corn, you take off the part you don't eat and throw it away. You see? And because you don't need it, there's no nutrition in it, very little. And so he says, like the chaff that the wind drives away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Yes.
So this is spiritual growth 101 here. Everyone who is saved is in the process of producing spiritual fruit. Did you know that? God is trying to make your life more fruitful.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 15, I am the true vine.
Right.
And you are the branches.
Right.
Abide in me and you will bear much fruit.
Right.
Just abide in me. Just be in me.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me all the time.
Yeah.
And you will bear much fruit, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all in that process of bearing or producing spiritual fruit. And it shall continue doing so throughout your whole time on earth. Did you know that? God has ordained a whole new future for you on earth.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're on earth, he's going to make your life more fruitful for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You can be guaranteed that. I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Because I'm looking at what he did already, and I'm wondering now what you're going to do tomorrow, Lord.
Yeah.
And I get up with anticipation in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for anything crazy. And then there might be something, whatever it is, I'll deal with it if it's there.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know the Lord is with me.
That's right. Amen.
You know, so you're having a whole new outlook and a new purpose on life.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue the rest of your time on earth. God's making you more fruitful because God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in each one who is called by God and puts their trust in Jesus Christ in order to fulfill every purpose of God in each one's life. He has a purpose for your life.
Yes.
You see? And so you start to say, you know, you don't even need to know it all. That's the thing that blesses me. Do you think Jacob understood the magnitude of his life when he was there in the land, and the started to be a famine in the land. And he had to send people to find food.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be thinking, boy, that's a rough time. There's nothing to eat, no rain. It's awful, you know. And it turns out God was doing that to move them down to Egypt so he would be reunited with his son, Joseph.
Yes.
And Joseph had plenty of food and everything was all right. See, so something that looked bad at the moment turned into a blessing.
Yes, it did.
And that's the way life has been. You may have something in your life right now that looks bad. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God will use that thing, and he uses it to mature us, to prune us, to bring us to greater spiritual dependency upon him.
Yes.
He wants us to call upon him.
Yes, he do.
You know, he wants us to shoulder up with you and help you take you through a rough time.
My Lord.
And so the psalmist shows us that a change of company is what he says here, from unbelievers and doubters and other forms of scoffers is required to assure spiritual growth as much as it is for us to saturate ourselves in the Word of God day and night, washing ourselves in the truth. The Bible speaks of the Word as spiritual water. It's like for cleansing us.
Oh yeah.
You see, and also being steadfast and unmovable about all that God has said.
My Lord.
See, that's that idea of a tree planted by the river. Now, see, think about the Word. It says that God has chosen to cleanse and sanctify us by the washing with water by the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit in the Word, that's helping you to be more and more spiritual. And so just realize that your flesh will say, oh, I'm too tired this evening to go to the Bible study, or I'm too tired to pray tonight. Let me just go to bed, I'll pray in the morning. And we make excuses because the flesh is weak.
Yes.
It doesn't want to do these things, but exercise your spiritual muscles sometimes. Challenge the flesh.
All right.
Say no and get up and have the flesh do what it should do. Mm-hmm. And these are things you can do that will help bring you closer in the truth.
Amen.
Now I want to read just a few verses here in 2 Peter. Peter gives us a good diagram and we'll be able to close out our thoughts with this. This is Simon Peter. Now he, of all people, he's a very great example of this, because when Jesus called him, he was bringing in his nets from a night of been out fishing and caught nothing. Read about it in Luke chapter 5.
Yes.
He was washing the nets, getting all the stuff out of it, ready to go home. He was frustrated, hadn't caught anything all night. Jesus said, Simon, cast your nets once again, cast your nets in the sea. In Luke 5:4, catch. He said, look, we've been out here all night, and now we're cleaning them up, we're ready to go home. You don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no, cast your net.
Yes.
And so he said nets in the plural. Simon just cast one net. And he threw it down thinking, okay, I'll satisfy you. Just throw that in. He did. He threw it in kind of reluctantly.
Uh-huh.
And when he drew up the net, it had so many fish, the net was breaking up. It almost sunk the boat. He pulled it up and the boat started sinking. Like, wow, boy, you should have done what he told you. He told you to cast all your nets.
That's right.
And he didn't do it. So then he fell at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, I am a sinful man. Depart from me. Just go away. I don't want to have to deal with you. You know, because he felt bad because he had not obeyed the Lord.
Yes.
And Jesus told him, Simon, I'm going to make you become fishers of men. Now, don't you know that? If you just follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You won't be fishing for fish anymore. But you can see I can help you with that too.
Yes.
So God is concerned about your occupation, the things that you're doing. He's concerned about everything in your life. And he wants to make your life a success so you can shine for him.
Amen.
See, he can promote you when somebody else might be against you.
That's right.
You know, and so you want to continue to walk with him. Continue to have faith. Take the flack, whatever it is you're dealing with at work.
Yeah.
But notice now, and I just wanted to say that to say Peter started there. And by the time he writes this letter, he is a powerful man of God. He's deeply seated in the Word. He loves God with all his heart. And this is his last epistle. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, and of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given, you notice that, unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So you have been called to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
My Lord.
And besides this, given all diligence, now notice what he says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance, patience, to your patience, godliness, and to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness, love. See that? These are a chain of things can constantly be growing in the truth, the things of God. He says, for if this be in you, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So sometimes you get in a rut. Yes. Peter says, but as long as you see this progress going in your life, this is what God does. You know you're on the right track. If you've forgotten, he didn't say, oh, just give up. You turn around, and he says, go back, wherefore, and rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do all these things, you shall never fail. So continue to pursue God, even if you get into a rough period in life where it looks like things are not going your way.
All right.
But go back. Go back where you left off. Pick up again and press forward. God is still with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Never.
So fortunately, God knows that we are unable to satisfy him with anything we ourselves could produce on our own. God knew that already. That's the reason why he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who satisfies him entirely by himself. And he alone satisfied God, Jesus Christ, in order to produce from us fruitfulness that is imperishable and constantly growing as a result of our increasing faith to the praise of his glory. God wants you to grow in grace.
My Lord.
And he knew we couldn't make it. He said, boy, if I have to let Fisher come up to par on his own, he can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I'm giving you my son ahead of time.
My Lord.
So you have to remember that. When Christ has been given for you, and he has,
yes,
history
has.
Records that God did it so that you don't have to worry about how will you be made right with God.
That's right.
You are right with God if you trust in Jesus Christ.
Trust in Jesus.
God did it all by himself.
Yes, he did.
And all you have to do is receive it. The Bible says, as to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name.
Yes.
So no matter who you are, God loves you. He made a way for you through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, he did.
And he wants you to know that. All you do is accept that.
That's it.
When you accept it, God declares you holy.
Amen.
He sees you exactly as he sees Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what could I do?
Yeah, that's right.
What could I do to make myself right? Like we sing that song, what could wash away my sins? Yeah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So God has given the blood of Jesus for you.
Yes.
And if you are here today and you would like to accept Christ as your personal Savior, we would like to have you come, and we've prepared a seat for you here in the front. And even if you are already saved and you'd like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we can give you that opportunity to come at this time too. Amen. God bless you. All right. Right there. Amen. Amen. Excellent. Anybody else? Anyone who would like to come, feel free to come at this time. Amen. We thank God for you. And this is your time. Amen. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he wants us to, in that day and our modern language, we would say, hook up with me, Jesus said.
That's right.
Hook up with me and I'm going to teach you what you need to know. You don't have to worry about carrying a load. I'm going to carry it for you.
That's right.
And see, that old picture of a yoke was an oxen with a big thing that they bolt two of them together and put bolts and wood on their neck.
Yes.
So one of them can't move without the other one.
Right.
So Jesus said, hook up with me, get in my yoke, and I'm going to do the work. You just follow along.
That's it.
And I'll show you how to do this. That's the kind of God we serve. He loves you. He's going to show you how to do this.
Yes.
You don't have to come with any experience.
None.
Just come as you are.
Yes.
Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new.
Oh, yes, he will.
He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. We have done as God command. We thank God that we do have one coming, and he's coming. How my sister, Vee?
Michael
Outlaw
Christian
candidate
for baptism.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Michael. Amen. We accept you as a candidate for baptism, and we will find the time to schedule that with you. And I'm so blessed. I can't tell you how happy I am that you have come. Thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll all be praying that everything falls in place for you for everything.
Oh,
amen.
Yes.
We know, we already know what's going to happen, though. We know.
Yes, we do.
We know God is blessing. He is a blessing God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can come knowing he's going to meet you at everything you need.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to receive you today, and we will talk with you to get you scheduled for baptism. And we thank God that you have come. We welcome you to our fellowship. Amen. We need young men to come and help, because we have a lot that needs to be done. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and extend him the right hand of fellowship. We'll ask the ushers to handle that.
Oh, fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a
blessedness, what a joy divine, leaning
on the everlasting arms.
Oh, yes, sir.
Meaning